24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet. You already know me, I'm RC, alongside Matt, the ultimate KISS fan, Porter. Woo. And Porter, we are back here April with an amazing guest, guys. He's the owner of the world-famous Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey, and one of the best minds in the business. He's a huge part of an amazing docuseries on Apple TV+, hashtag Monster Factory, our friend, Mr. Get Ish Done, Danny freaking Kate. Danny, welcome to Danny,
what up,
man.
What up, guys? What up? I'm loving this. It's been a while, man. When's the last time I was in here?
Yeah, that long ago.
Yeah. Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So I don't think
about that. We weren't allowed in here, so that's why there's like 2 years, because it was nobody was in here. But that's, no, see, that's the funny thing, because that brings us back to the last time you were here. You showed us a clip, kind of the proof of concept sizzle reel of what became your Monster Factory show. So it goes right back to that.
You just dined me out to the producers and because I wasn't supposed to show that to anybody or have a copy.
It was in our minds. Yes.
No, they called us and said, show it to only the most important people. Yes. That's me and RC.
Exactly.
Of course. Who better than Damage? Oh, Dan's phone's ringing up now.
Yeah, it is. Oh my God,
ring. Seriously, but Danny, welcome back, man. Great to see you.
I'm having a blast with this whole show getting out there. It's surreal. It still doesn't seem like it's happening. To be like, I'm wearing the shirt Ted Lasso, but like to be on a network and like Jon Stewart's there, Ted Lasso's there, like all these different shows, and I'm just like, and then there's like us. Yeah. it's like I said, it's surreal, but I think it's going to be something that opens eyes of people. Like, wrestling's more than what you think it is, you know, because like even the crew that filmed this discovered that, you know, I'm going to get into the origin story of it, because everyone's always asking me every show I do. They go, how did this come to be? And I'm like, well, it came to be before there was even an Apple TV Plus. 2015. A photographer hit us up to do some work and just emailed me and said, hey, we want to come in and photograph some wrestlers because we're looking to get a portfolio together. Absolutely, come on by. And then it was a friend of theirs was like about to do something with making like some clips to show how they can edit video and all that stuff. So they contacted her and are like, yeah, we're looking for people to go to the Monster Factory. Those guys were great. They're really cool, easy to work with. Go there. So they contacted me. I got right back to them, Will Krause, and they came in and they came in with all this stuff. And they're like, we want to film this little documentary for you and you can keep it. And we're going to show everybody what we can do. So I'm thinking, cool, it's going to be like 90 minutes. It's going to be awesome. And they're filming for a couple of days. I go, so how long is this going to be? Like, do you need any kind of stuff? And they're like, about 90 seconds. And I went, what? And they go, yeah, 90 seconds. I was like, they're like, yeah, we just want to show what we can do. And I was like, all right, but there's more here than that. And I think you're going to find this out. And then we started becoming friends and talking. And the crew kept coming back and coming back. And then it turned into a couple day shoot to a week to a couple weeks. And then they came back later for shows. And then they put it out on Vimeo and it became like editor's pick or editor's choice or whatever. And it started doing numbers and they got a deal like where they were sending me like, hey, we want to do a show with you. We're going to try to shop it here. You have to, you know, sign a, you know, one of those forms. Disclaimer or non-disclosure, all that stuff. And just basically tell them like, hey, you know, I'm going with you guys if we do this. And then it was 2016, 17, 18, 19, just trying to shop at all these places, Netflix, all this. And then Jeremiah Zagar came in and wanted to be a part of it, and Galen Summer and all these other people and these great minds. And I'm awful with names, so I'm forgetting so many people, but like Zach and all these people, Max and Jeremy, I'm just going to be saying all these names. But anyway, once all these people got on board, Apple TV Plus was just like, all right, we're kind of interested. And that's when we needed like the proof of concept. So we filmed that during the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah, they were flying people out, and they were basically, we were going into building, and everybody needed to be tested, quarantined. We would only allow 2 to 3 people in there was the camera guy, masked, Mike, masked, director, masked, and then 2 wrestlers. And then we would leave, and then 2 more people would get tested, come back in, 2 more people, and this went on for a couple weeks.
Wow.
And then, you know, it was July 31st of last year, or the year before, and I got a call from Felix Fernandez, who's in NXT mm-hmm. right now.
Sure.
He called me and said, Dan, I just got a job with NXT. Mm. I just got signed. An hour later, Will calls me up and says, hey, Dan, you got to hop on a call a little later. And I was like, what is it? He goes, just take the call, you idiot. So I take this call, and it's literally like, it's annoying then. Now I love it. But it was like, you know, like when you're on a call and there's like 10 different people talking and you're just annoyed. They're having a great time, but you're just annoyed because you have no idea what they're talking about. That pretty much was it, because they're like, hey, Dan, congratulations, you have a TV show. And like they all start yelling and screaming. I'm like,
one person at a time.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this is amazing. And it was, because then like I started like thinking about it. I'll still tear up because I'm a little, you know, I cry a lot. I'm very emotional.
Which, oddly enough, that you really revealed this niche in the series.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, I don't want to skip ahead too much.
Yeah, no,
but I mean,
no.
As you're saying that, at what point is it like, I mean, you really show some emotion. And I think a lot of time in wrestling, people think about you got to be a hard ass or a bad guy. But you really let those cameras capture some stuff that you go, man, he's really letting us inside.
But that's the thing. That's the way I am. Like, that's the way I am at the school when there's not cameras. And that's the way I talk to people all the time. That's why the people who really know me are like, you got Dan all wrong. Those who don't know me are like, he's abrasive. And I'm abrasive by design, because I don't want a lot of bad people around me. And bullies and bad people tend to stay away from people that are kind of like me, where I tell you how I feel all the time and all this. Yeah. So, like, yeah. Stop. So, like, I got emotional and I'm like, this is amazing. And then, like, you know, we got the contract, everything done, and then we started filming, and it still didn't feel real. And it still didn't feel real to the students, because there's so many students that I know are kicking themselves in the butt because they didn't give the raw. But all I say is this, like, the proof was on that, like, the evidence is on camera that you didn't do everything, and you know you didn't do everything. So just redeem yourself. You know what I mean?
Like, that was a great sequence where you're talking to them and you said, raise your hand.
Oh, yeah.
If you have given your 100, and you're like, no, you haven't.
Oh, put my God.
You're calling them out.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what was so interesting about that was just to show that relationship, because then you start talking about my dream was done.
Yeah.
I don't want you to give up on yourselves, kind of thing, which was so inspirational.
Thank you.
Whether it's wrestling or whatever it is, you're making them better.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, that, like, everyone asked me, like, how real was it? Everything was real.
Right.
No one ever told me, like, we have to do this today. It was, I walked in, they go, what are we going to do today? I was like, well, I'm going to cut a promo and I'm walking away. And they're like, what? And I go, yeah, just, I'm leaving. And they're like, what? And I go, yeah, I'm leaving. So I went, said what I said, took off my camera pack, or my battery pack, you know, microphone pack, and just walked and got my car and left. And texted the directors and all and said, I'm all right, just leave me alone for the night. And that was it.
See, now that's interesting. I know you got a whole list of questions, but I got questions real quick. Is the fact that, like, you know, with that in mind, you were talking about people that maybe realized they didn't give 100%. Thinking about the earliest days of it, how did you see people emerge as the ones who clearly, like, and I asked this of Bobby and Goldie when they were here, how did that kind of happen?
What do you mean? How did what?
How did certain people become the focus of the show?
Oh, how did they get chosen?
Yeah.
All right. So what happened was, in the beginning, the crew knew a great deal of the people since 2016. So they were, when we were getting the principal characters together and everything, they're like, give us the names of everybody. And they did. And they're like, we're going to do interviews. They literally interviewed everybody. And just sat down because they wanted to see how they'd be able to talk in front of a camera. Would they open up? Would they be shy? Is there layers there? Is it just somebody who just goes, I don't know.
Right.
But there was, like, I know for a fact they were interviewing certain people, and they would literally just go, "I'm not sure," and they're like, "I'm not."
TV.
Yeah, and I'm just like, and then they complain that they weren't on, but that was it was different. They cast it like a TV show, you know. Like if you look at it, and I said it in the beginning, and it might have been subliminal, but it is The Breakfast Club.
Right.
Because I am part janitor and part guy who raided Barry Manilow's wardrobe.
Right, yeah.
And I'm the janitor because he gets the weed out of their lockers and stuff. Yeah. but Mimi is the rich girl.
Right.
Yep.
Gabby, she even said it, I'm the basket case. Twitch is the nerd.
Right.
The jock is Bobby. Yep. And Goldie's the bad boy. Of it, and
right?
It's The Breakfast Club. It's the cast of The Breakfast Club, and it was just perfect to see all these different characters like mesh together and like become like The Breakfast Club. I mean, they got together and like even to this, like right now we have like a group text message and we all talk and all this stuff, but like if we didn't have this show, we're not at this point, you know what I mean? It was like therapy for all of us. And even the students that weren't principal cast, because there were still lots of interviews and stuff. Like, it should have been, like, we could have at least had 13 or 14 episodes,
right,
for 45 minutes each, because they filmed a lot of material, a lot of interviews. We were talking before, Aaron, you were like, was there something that didn't make it that you wanted to make it? There was one thing. It was me working out. Because you never see that. Because I don't work out. I don't. I actually have to start working out because I'm almost 50 now. And like my working out in my 20s, the tank's almost empty. You know what I mean? Like I got to refill this. I got a lot of mileage out of it. But that part. And then prior to that, they're just like, hey, can you contact somebody, you know, somebody like that's your peer or somebody, you know, back in the day wrestling that you can have in and just roll around with. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't really wrestle. Like I don't even get in the ring. Like I know, but just do a couple things. So I was like, all right. And I was going to hit up Crowbar and I was like, oh, wait a minute. I forgot Homicide's right in Philly. So I texted him. He comes in. We get in there and we just start talking and bullcrap, and then they're filming us just hanging out and lacing up and everything. So I got my wrestling boots on. Jeez. I got my shorts. I got my knee pads on, man. And we got in a ring and we just started going. Like, we just started beating the crap out of each other. Like, he was fish hooking me. He was ripping at my face. He's cross facing me. He's elbowing me. I'm giving him Russian leg sweeps, up and overs, you know, big elbows, all this stuff. And then, like, we get out of the ring, and he's just, I was like, I'm dying here. I am dying here. And he's like, what? And I was like, dude, this is the first time I've gotten a ring and trained with, or wrestled in probably ever. Because, like, once I bought the Monster Factory, I would barely get in the ring. And it was because Larry always told me, you're at the age now where in a couple years you're not going to be able to get in the ring all the time. So once you're not in the ring, everyone's going to question why you're not in the ring anymore.
Right.
He's like, so just stay on the outside and just be a coach, be a line coach, be a line coach. And that's what I did. And then, like, yeah, we beat each other up. And it was so fun, though. Like, I felt so refreshed afterwards because I hadn't done that in years. Like, years. And he was amazed by it. I'm not saying that I was good. You know what I mean? But right. Just like, you know, he's probably just amazed. Like, I can't believe you're not in here beating these kids up all the time.
Right.
But it was so much fun, man. It was so much fun. That's the one scene I wish was in there.
So, you know, I got one more question before you go to your list. The everybody in it, like, you are a performer. Your students are performers. That's what their craft is. What's life like then for, like, your wife is adorable. Your kids are so cute.
Thank you.
What's it like for them? I mean, they got to go to school and they're not professional wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah. My girls, of course, want to be in it more. my oldest is just like, yeah, well, I should be on the poster.
Right.
And then the youngest is like, yeah, shut up. It's amazing to watch them. Like, I'm driving here and we have a family group chat. So I'm watching the kids argue with each other while my wife is at work texting her. Right. I'm texting. And I'm just like, kids, but this is them, like, they're goofballs. My wife is having a blast because, like, you know, now, you know, she was talking about it, you know, with, hey, we have this thing coming up, can't talk about it.
Right.
Hey, we have this thing. And, you know, it all got out there. So, like, she's loving it. Her friends like, and it's so cool to see her friends, like, on Facebook and stuff be like, I watched it. I never watched wrestling before, but now I'm a fan and this and that. That's the coolest part is everybody, I always say, I want to expose the wrestling business. And I, when I say that, I mean expose it to more people. Because the more and more guarded it is, the less and less money we can make and less people are, you know, like you shouldn't feel foolish saying you wrestle, you know, you shouldn't right. be, you shouldn't feel foolish living your dream. You know, it's way more difficult to do a lot of other things. And people are like, yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead. But then like, you're like wrestling. Yeah, that's stupid. It's, you know, but it's not, you know, it's, that's somebody's escape. That's somebody's therapy. That's somebody's, you know, sanctuary. And that's why, like, I take it really seriously. That's why I think I'm an effective coach is because, like, I was talking about mental health and stuff like that way back in the day. I would be like, always communicate with me. Let me know if something's going on. Don't do this. Don't do that. And really staying in touch with the kids like an actual coach, the way I would want to be coached. I would want someone who cares for me, looks out for me, not someone who just, you know, I always tell the kids, I treat you like a number. Just because you know when you go out there, you're going to be treated like a number. I want you to be acclimated to this. I tell them, it's like working with a safety net. You know, it's like working with a crash pad with me. I'm going to leave you hanging out to dry and all that stuff, but, like, it's not that big a deal. I'm just doing it so you have the experience and stuff like that.
Well, your number is on the freaking car, so of course,
I know,
of
right?
course, can you say any more promotion?
I know. That's why I had to get a new car, too. I mean, I still have the Monster Factory Mobile. It's still at the school. But it was just, it had so many miles on it, dude. Like, here's a funny thing. Here's a little tidbit. So it broke down towards the end of filming. And I was like, I'm going to scrap it. And Apple and all them are just like, we need that. Right. And we need it. We still have to film some scenes. And I was like, well, I can't get it fixed. So Apple paid for it. They pay for it to get fixed.
There you go.
I like the picture we had out there.
So
with the thumbs
call.
Up.
Yeah.
So who's the call?
Damage Radio. Who's on the line?
Hey, what's going on, Damage? This is Tommy.
Tommy Jacoby. Okay. What's going on, Dan?
How you doing?
Good, Tommy. How about you?
Good. Listen to the show. Sounds great. Everybody sounds awesome. Mr. Cage, I want to just first say thank you for everything you guys have done there at Monster Factory.
Thank you, bro.
I've never purchased Apple TV once in my life. I'm an Android user through and through, but somehow you've managed to make that change.
Awesome. Nice. And just so you know, I can tell you're an Android user because it's Apple TV Plus. It's Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus. So it's on baby all the way.
Well, that's what I had to have that conversation myself, like with Apple. I was like, okay, what's the difference between Apple TV and Apple TV Plus? And they're like, Apple TV is an actual physical TV. Apple TV Plus right. is how you watch different things. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, they didn't think that branding out though. Like, wouldn't it have been like Apple TV and then maybe for like Apple Theater for your streaming or something? Because it's confusing, because it confuses me.
Right. Yeah, Tommy's been training at the SWO and I've been telling him all about the Monster Factory. Awesome. Now, if you really want to make it, check out in Paulsboro, New Jersey. And,
yeah, it's time to come by. Come on by, dude. Like, whenever we're training, come on by. Find a way to get here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I said I'm about 2 hours away from you guys. You know, as a 30-year-old guy with four kids, it's...
Well, what do your Saturdays and Sundays look like? We train at 9:30 in the morning, so get up at 7, get to training, get home by noon, yeah. and bring your kids lunch. Come on, man.
Hey, I agree 1,000%. I just want to call and say, hey, you know, I just started the show a couple nights ago. It's a great docuseries. I love it. It really, like you said, exposes the wrestling for people that don't really understand it. And it's just awesome, man. I really think if you've never checked it out, definitely check it out. It's phenomenal.
Thank you so much, man.
So I just want to call and say, you know, thanks for showing up so I get to listen to you on the radio. And I want to come out the Monster Factory here. Everything you're saying sounds great. And I want to maybe learn a thing or two from you guys and try to broaden my horizon. So I look forward to being out there.
All right, well, give yourself a plug. Give yourself a plug. What's your social media? Throw it out there, bro.
Hey, man, guys, you can find me at Tommy Jacoby or at Tommy8252 on Instagram. Please hit me up anytime. You'll see a bunch of wrestling content. I'll be hitting the ring here in the next couple of months. I'll be sure to inform everybody what's going down, where we'll be. So please, guys, everybody gets a chance. At Tommy Jacoby on Facebook and at Tommy8252 on Instagram. Thank you, Mom. Missy Cage will make complete damage. You guys.
So, you know, oddly enough, here's the funny thing. He was here in the studio with Missy Sampson, and she made him cut a promo. And then his daughter is here, who's also, is she still going to be a wrestler? Last time we talked to her, she was pretty excited about it.
She's still going to wrestle. She's doing some things.
Awesome.
Working on finishing up school, so she's still wrestling. Everything's good, guys. She's excited. I absolutely buried you, Mr. Cage, in that interview.
By Missy had him, Missy had him cut a promo. Hey,
watch this. Watch it. It's okay. It's not real, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I buried you, buddy, and I apologize for that.
I don't care. Like, I don't.
You guys have a great time.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for continuing to listen. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, it was actually really funny when he was a guest here with his daughter, and Missy was telling the funny stories, and I don't know if you listened back to it. She told the five midgets in a bar story. I couldn't stop laughing. It's maybe the funniest thing I've ever heard on this show. So.
That was awesome. And the one thing I loved about the documentary is 5 minutes into the first episode, you have a quote on the wall. It says, "I am blood, I am sweat, I am tears, I am what most can never be, I'm a wrestler." And that quote was just the perfect thing of what you personify at the Monster Factory.
Yeah, it really is. I didn't get to see the show really until it came out. I saw two episodes back in, I think, August, and they were still going through it. Like, there was parts in it. It was such a rough edit. There was parts in it where it's like, insert Dan with family fishing. You know, stuff like
that.
You
caught a fish, though, right?
Right. No, we didn't. We catch anything. I almost caught a hook. My daughter caught a tree, you know. But, it was... Like, I love that picture on the wall, and it is the perfect way to start. And I love, like, just the flying over, you know, the freaking, what is the name of it? A drone.
Yes.
The drone that footage. Awesome. Yes, the drone footage going over, and everybody getting their stuff and turning into their character as they get into their vehicle or make that turn or that transition. Yep. I think it's unbelievable, and having Ferran and Brian Murphy, Flatley,
names.
Yes. I'm awful with names. Because here's what happens to me. Everybody has different names, and then they have a different name after they've realized their gimmick doesn't work. Like, we had a student, his name is Ellis. E-L-L-I-S. And his last name is going to be D-D-E-E. And I'm like, no.
Too much.
Yeah, we're not doing LSD. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, but like, these are these goofballs that I have to deal with. So like, yeah. So the, like, Brian and Ferran were amazing. Like, those voiceovers, and they're timeless. And I can't get enough of it. Even though I've had to watch it a million times, because like, people bring things up and I didn't notice it and I didn't pick it up. And I want to bring something up. Remind me to get back to this. Something that shouldn't be in it.
Take that call, okay. And then we'll come back to that thought.
Yes. All right. Damage Radio, who's on the line?
This is Big Daddy, Dr. Ruthless.
What's going on, man? Great hearing from you.
What's up, big fella?
I'm good. I just wanted to call and say, Danny, I am extremely proud of you.
Thank you so much. You're going to make me cry. I hate that.
I love it.
Because I'm a Monster Factory student myself.
Yes, sir.
And I remember what it was. And you have transformed it to something that I would never think it would be.
Thank you so much. And that dude, that means a lot to me, because that's where, like, all this came from. For example, like, when we were doing it, I wanted Larry to be mentioned and all, because, like, they really didn't know the origin, like, the whole story of the Monster Factory. They just found me because of wrestling, to film some stuff. So, like, I'm just so happy. Like, what year were you there? Was it mid-90s?
I was in, I started in April of 96.
Yeah, I was right after that. I was in the end of 97, beginning of 98 is when I started.
Yeah, so I was there when it was at the Route 30 Mall.
Yes, the marketplace. Oh, my God, I love, that's where I had my tryout. The Headbangers put me through my tryout in 94. You know, the one that my dad backed out on.
Damn.
So I remember what it was, and then to see where you took it. It's just like, wow, now I wish I was younger and was able to train with you. Nothing against Larry.
No. No, he took the ball, ran with it, and then he handed it off to me, and I ran with it too. It's not you know, saying anything bad about Larry. The way he was doing it was the way it was back then, you know, and now I'm doing it the way it should be now, and a lot of people need to keep up.
And I was listening to you at the beginning of the show when you were talking about getting in and out of the ring. And Larry never got in the ring, but the one time he did get in the ring, he scared the mess out of everybody.
Yep.
Because he was trying to teach somebody how to throw a clothesline, and the guy wasn't throwing it right. So Larry slowly stood up, slowly got in the ring, and he jumped out. We were like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Like, the scene off of Friday, like, damn.
Yep. I know that feeling. Like Larry would never really say much during training or raise his voice, but when he did, man, it was like, oh boy, like it was that dad heat, you know? Like you're like, oh man, I need to fix myself or I'm gonna get hit.
But I just wanted to call and say that keep up the good work, keep up what you're doing. You guys at the radio show, keep doing what you're doing. You know, I was on there back in the day, and you guys are still doing what you're doing, and I'm proud of you guys too.
Thanks, man.
Come back down to the studio, yeah.
And whenever you guys want to have me up, I'll come up. I have a story for you that probably has Brian as far as my health. Of course, I tell you this, you know, my makeup. But outside of that, whenever you guys want to have me come on, I'll drive up, no problem.
Fantastic.
All right, let's make it happen.
Thanks cool. So much. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate the call, man.
Big daddy.
See, now that brings up another question. And when you said the word dad heat, I was thinking about that. But the fact that, even just talking to those guys last week, we have Bobby and Goldie here the other day, and watching the show, that in a lot, and you really reveal your relationship with your own father and how that was really tough for you.
Yeah.
But these students, I think in a lot of ways, you're their father.
Oh, I know.
And there's no doubt about it. And having the influence, I think that's one of the things that shines through the whole thing, is that you're giving them a lot of guidance and when they need it.
Well, that's the, thank you so much. And I'm kind of changing the subject so I don't cry, because I will cry, because like,
yeah, I don't want to be the one making you cry
every morning, man.
Because so like the thing with Bobby and them, like they are like my kids, and my wife understands it and realizes it. My kids understand it, realize it, because like that's what's missing in pro wrestling. Like I didn't get that in pro wrestling. Like I didn't understand why it was such a cutthroat thing. Like even in like any kind of athletics, like you don't just, I don't know. It's in high school, my amateur wrestling coach was amazing. All my wrestling coaches were amazing. So like, that's the influence I took. And then I took the influence from the teachers that understood me. Like I had teachers that like didn't understand me. And then teachers that were like, I get what you're doing. I know you're just trying to get through this. We'll get through this together too. Cool. You entertain me. Do your thing, Dan. You know, Miss Traeger, Bernadette Traeger, if you're still alive, she was the best. She was Neighbors with Grill Monsoon.
Wow.
So she let me write all my papers on pro wrestling. If I could write anything and relate it to whatever topic they was assigned, I could do it. So she let me write all my papers on pro wrestling, and she would give the paper to Grill Monsoon, and he would read it, and he would even write things like, good job, you're
you
spot
have that
on.
Still, right?
No, I don't. That's the worst part. That's the worst part. It was an incident with French dressing and a book bag. Oh. And I was pushed up against the locker, and it cracked, and all of it, all over. But this is what happens when you're trying to eat healthy for amateur wrestling. I shouldn't have had French dressing.
Yeah,
I
should have just candy bar, right?
Yep, it wouldn't happen with a candy bar.
And that's the fun thing that you were talking about, like the vignettes that you were doing, Bobby Buffet in the buffet, hitting the food, and food going out everywhere,
dude,
taking the guy's milkshake or whatever.
Dude, that was like, that scene was so cool. I didn't get, like, I remember that day too, vividly because I drove up, and I usually didn't go to like their sets and when they were doing it, but Jeremiah was in town. Jeremiah Zagor was in town, and he wanted to give me something, which it turned out was awesome, which was a poster of Hustle with him autographing it, saying to the greatest coach in the world, Danny Cage, thank you for trusting us. So that was cool. But going inside and seeing everything, I'm like, all right, I got to see how this is going to play out. And you don't understand it. Like, I got their vision and everything, but, like, to see how awesome it was, like, the contrast with the lights and the setting and everything was perfect. I mean, perfect. Bobby looked like a gangster.
He did.
It was so amazing.
Or I can go back to flipping burgers.
Yeah, just...
But that's even one of the things, like, right off the bat that I was, like, so thrilled was, like you had said earlier, when you see each of them transform and you see him walk out with his burger outfit, yes, and all of a sudden he walks out and the confetti's going off and he's looking like a million bucks, and then you hear Ferran's voice.
Yeah.
And I was so thrilled to hear Ferran, because you go, oh man, that's another one. He has worked so hard that when that came on, like literally I'm watching it going, woo!
Yes, and if Ferran is listening, Ferran, I love you. You're amazing. He is. Like, he doesn't understand how amazing he is.
He's definitely hard on himself.
Yeah. He is. And like, but that's also what makes him. So, like, I'm not trying to change him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what the, you know, like they talk about, like, Winnie the Pooh, they just let, Eeyore just be like Eeyore, and they never try to cheer him up. Yeah. Like, that's Ferran. Like, I love you, Ferran, but, like, man, like, you are talented. You are awesome. You're a good person. So, stop beating yourself up all the time.
That's very true. And the one thing I feel that's hiding in professional wrestling back is they're not opening up the curtain. You opened up the curtain and then some. That's what I love about the show.
Yeah.
Like, you show the inside of everything.
And that's what is missing about wrestling. Like, I've never watched a behind-the-scenes footage of a movie and went, oh, it's ruined it for me.
Right.
I went, oh, my God, I respect them so much more. Oh, my God, look at all the hours they're putting. Oh, my God. And that guy's accent isn't even... Oh, my God. I had no idea. I thought he was American. He's Australian. You know. Oh, my God. You know, Tom Cruise is 5'3". I can't believe
he's on a box. Right?
I can't believe he's on a box. No, but, like, these are the things, like, I want to see the making of. I want to see the real people, the real stories. My wife hated UFC. Hated it. I would always watch it. She hated it. We watched The Ultimate Fighter, Season 1. She got hooked on UFC because she got to meet the real people.
Right.
It wasn't a promo. It wasn't bull crap. It was them, real people, real life stuff happening. And Season 1 and Season 2, I think, were the best. And then it started getting really choppy and contrived. But it was really good, though. It was exposing to more people, you know? Everyone knew that it's barbarians and all this stuff, but, like, to meet people and see their families and see their struggles and their emotions out there, it was awesome. So that's why I believe in pulling the curtain back, because every time somebody comes into school and does a birthday party or sees a show, nobody goes, this is exactly how I thought wrestling was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exactly. They go, I had no idea this went into this. So I'm like, all right, how do we fix that? You know, everybody should know what goes into this. Because if you said doctor, they go, I know what that did, with how long, how hard they have to work. I know what this. Football, I know how hard, but you're wrestling, they just play. It's on a trampoline.
It's fake.
Yeah. And I don't care. Like, if some people get offended by the word, I don't. Like the guy who's just said, like, hey, I talk bad about you. It's not real, dude.
Right.
Like, I don't care. You know, we're play fighting, but it's still the acting going into it and all that stuff. It's the theater. It's the telling the stories. That's what it's all about for me.
Well, the phone lines are off the hook today. Damage Radio, who's on the line?
It's like Beetlejuice. You said my name three times, and here I am.
Hey, Ferran, nice. What's up, Ferran, man?
Yeah, Beetlejuice. Yeah, bro. What's up, Ferran?
I probably look more like the other one.
Who's high pitch? Hey, Ferran, you did great on the show. Are you getting compliments on the show?
I've gotten a couple.
A couple? Have you got anybody crapping on you? Nope. No. You're good, Ferran. You're very good. Nobody is talking bad about you. You're good.
I tried my best to go out of sight, out of mind for the most part. Or better said, heard than seen, or something like that.
No, I was just saying the best part was right at the start. First episode, we see that little bit of intro, and then it's your voice locked right in. And I was waiting for that promo about the longest running. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I still read. Yeah, but see, that's
right.
It's in my head because of him. It's in your head,
right.
Every week.
Yeah, it's been a little over 3 years now since I was furloughed from that place.
Wow.
Mm.
Oh, it's unreal.
But I miss it.
You do miss it?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, good. They did you a favor, bro.
Everything kind of happens for a reason, and everything just felt like a perfect time. I mean, the day that I was furloughed happened to be 11 years to the day from when I did my first show.
Mm. Wow.
It felt all, March 21st, 2009 to March 21st, 2020.
Mm.
And, I mean, we kind of reached a point by the end of the show where a once-a-week wrestling recap show just wasn't feasible.
Right.
Where you had daily YouTube reactions and things of that nature. It just felt very antiquated, very past.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the right time to kind of move on to things or from things.
So when move on to other things. So how many people have you told about Apple TV Plus and our show, or do you just not bring it up? Because I know you're self-confident, so you probably don't even bring it up, do you?
No, I brought it up quite a bit.
Nice.
In fact, you'll appreciate this kind of tying in with the radio thing. I've had a little thing going on with the Cuz, Anthony Gargano and Chunas, and I made sure to bring it up this past Monday based on something that Chunas had put up on the vault. He played, I think it was because it was the anniversary of Lawrence Taylor main eventing WrestleMania 11.
Nice.
So I sent him a tweet, and I just said to him, you know, funny little tie into the vault thing here. The opponent for Lawrence Taylor, the first ever graduate of the Monster Factory, Bam Bam Bigelow, and then Cuz Pop Hughes for that.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I love Gargano.
Yep.
Danny.
Oh, yo, Cuz. Oh, come on, that sounds great. Oh, yeah. Oh, Ferran, you like that? Oh, that's great, Cuz.
Where's it going to be? Tell him.
Oh, God, tell us all about it, Ferran.
Yeah.
Well, Chunas, of course, mispronounced my name from the Twitter. He's like, oh, Ferran Bird.
I know. So many people do.
Ferran.
Hey, I mean, like, that's he. I'm surprised he didn't like clap out the syllables too. Ferran, because I mean, like, he just said it exactly how it's spelled. That's amazing.
Yep, just it's phonetics. It's what they do in radio.
Yep.
Yeah, they read it how it's in front of them. I can't fault them for that at all.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you, Ferran.
Yeah, Ferran. Yeah, Ferran.
Ferran. Here from the world famous Monster Factory, ain't nothing.
It's Ferran Riccaboni.
What's up, brother?
I just said loving Ian Riccaboni. Had to get that little call back in.
And the homework that Ferran did for the world famous Monster Factory.
Oh my dude, he has a book.
A book.
Yeah, we have. Did we ever get that whole thing digital?
Not the whole thing. I still have. Pre-June of 2016 to do.
When did you start the documenting everything?
From moment one that I first... from my first commentary date, which was June 11, 2016.
2016 till now? It's amazing.
That is amazing.
So we have 7 years of stuff. Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Out of the 11. I mean, I know that I've got to go way back and get some of the, Jeff Noyes matches and some of the very early things of
and you can just leave certain people out and you know who I'm talking about. And it's listen, it's not people, but it's not like people that are like I'm holding a grudge on. These are just like bad people, you know, right. What I mean, like bad people who left, and like 7 years later I'm just like, oh, they got arrested and they're awful. Oh, okay. How about we strike that from the record? And yes. He didn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're in the they're
Ferran, let's not talk about it. Let's move on, Ferran. Yeah. Let's move on.
Moving
on. No, but yeah.
Ferran, we need you to come back up in the studio. I miss your smiling face.
Definitely.
There you go, Ferran. There's your invite.
Especially since that sounds like his phone is.
Yeah, I think his phone just went out.
Yeah. Well, Ferran, thanks for calling. If you can't hear us.
No.
There you go.
No,
wait, there he is. He's stuttering.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, technology Spider.
You need to get a new Apple phone.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Apple for watching.
Is that an iPhone? Phone?
Yes, it's an iPhone. It's an old one. It's an iPhone 7.
It's iPhone 7?
Even I have an iPhone.
Oh, my God. That's a BC.
School. My Android is better than that.
Man, I have a Apple 24.
Jeez.
They give me the advanced models.
Love it.
When you get a TV show.
Yeah, when you're famous on TV.
Yeah, I was texting Sudeikis earlier. That's why I wore his shirt today.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Ferran, keep doing amazing things, man. You should have more confidence in yourself, dude.
Yes, I love you, Ferran. And when you hang up, go knock out 50 push-ups and then go watch Monster Factory on Apple TV Plus.
Yep.
I love you.
I'll sneak it in between phone calls here at work.
All right. I love you, Ferran. I love you, brother.
And
bye-bye.
Thanks, Ferran.
There we go.
He was breaking up. I didn't even get to hear I love you. Exactly. It was like,
but we know he said it in his heart.
Right here.
He just went like this.
Right. He was
for radio.
Doesn't work with the radio. Little hands.
For radio. For radio, bro.
Right. But between him and Ian, like, both guys, you know, just done big things.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Ian.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I don't want to talk about Ian.
But yeah, Ferran, you're doing an amazing job.
Yes, Ferran's doing awesome things.
Yep.
So here's what I want to tell you that was in it that shouldn't be in it, but it's hilarious. And I'm so, like, I would not, if they told me, do you want us to take it out? I'd say, no, leave it because it's so awful. It's great. So there's the scene where Missy goes at the 2300 arena and she's giving a speech and she says, this is PA, you know, you can't bleed, blah, blah, blah. If you bleed, get in the ring and then go home. And then it cuts to everybody laughing hysterically. Nobody's laughing at that. But the person editing thought she literally meant if you bleed, you have to leave. Like, go home.
Right.
So it's in there as a punchline. But it's so great because, like, I'm watching. I went, what? That's not
right.
They're literally laughing, I think, because I probably threw out like the C word or something, like during my like my pre-show talk, and like, you know, I laid the smack down on somebody or said something totally inappropriate, and you're like, that joke don't work, but this one will fit in there.
Right.
But it was so funny, and it was just like, cause like Missy's there serious, like, hey, blah blah, if you bleed, get in the ring, go home, and it's and you're like, wow, I've never seen Ricky Reyes smile, let alone laugh that hard.
That's actually a good point, though, when you talk about these kind of things. Is it reality TV?
Right.
But the whole editing is everything.
Yeah, editing is everything. And there's so many scenes. Like, if you watch the beginning, like, I'm in, like, three different hoodies. But right. They told me, they're like, we're not trying to make it like it's the one day.
Right.
Because I'm doing a bunch of things. Because, like, I'm with Clutch, I'm with this. But, like, in my head, I'm just watching it for that 4 minutes, and I'm like, this scene is all wrong, because it's like, no, that's supposed to be over a bunch of days. And I'm like, oh, well. But
right.
It was amazing. Like, everything they did, like, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, super kudos to the team that put it together. Dude. It's so well done. The editing is outstanding.
And I'm going to say this now, Galen Summers, I apologize to you, because I did not trust, like, he would bring up things, and I'm like, no, this is stupid. I'm not doing it. And I'm like, it's dumb. And then, like, I did it. And I'm like, that was awesome. And you're right.
Right. Yeah, right. Like, the camera work, the editing.
Yes.
So great.
Dude, and the guys, the guys and girls on the team, like, if we do season two, I want everybody back. Everybody there was so awesome. Everybody to deal with. Like, people, like, from the area still come over. And they, like, they surprised us. Some of the guys, Zach and the crew came by and surprised us at one of the shows. Like, I saw, like, on the ticket sales, I'm like, all right, that last name sounds familiar. All right, well. And then, like, all of a sudden, I was like, it is you guys. And there was, like, eight of them. Then we all went out, had drinks and all. And, like, to see their art, like, and be able to just nail it the way they did. It's
right.
Like, that's why I think we get along, like, us and them, like meaning like the wrestlers and stuff, and the way I think is because like I visualize everything and I like have to like manifest it and I have those visions and I can see how the story goes and like that's the same thing they're doing,
right.
But you know, and scene after scene after scene, I remember one time me and Galen were getting into it over some stuff and he's like, I need you to read this, you know, to introduce this match. And I go, well, it wasn't the first match. And he's like, yeah, I know, but no one knows. I go, no, I'll know. It's not the first match. And he's just like, well, then can you just say we start off with it? I go, no, then that's just saying it's the first match. And I was like, I'm not saying it. I'm not lying. And I was like, and it's not even like me going, oh, I forgot. It's on YouTube. So they can see that it's not the first. And he's pushing back at me, and he goes, fine, let's just call Jeremiah. And he goes, let's just call Jeremiah. I was like, let's call Jeremiah. And it was so great because, like, Jeremiah's like, yeah, just don't say it.
And sometimes, like, that's the hardest thing. They have a vision. You have a vision.
But that's what was so great.
And that's what really is amazing is the fact that they were able to shape such a story. That's kind of like where I was asking earlier about certain people really emerge out of it, and you could see where they kind of focus in on finding those little things, which I thought that was great.
Like, even the little nuances that make
tiny,
that person,
right.
Like, they that are. Person.
But
like,
even something as simple as that opening graphic where it says Monster Factory, it has, like, kind of a little shakiness to it. It almost looks like it looks youthful. And
yes.
And I mean, I don't know how really to describe it, except for the fact with wrestling, it would be easy to go, you know, barbed wire.
Right.
But it has like a vibe that feels welcoming.
It's, and you go, the decision-making
is the things that they did to make it more of a, and I hate the term like family friendly, but it's bigger than the wrestling crowd.
Yes. Right.
And that was what I was really impressed by a lot of what they did as they told those stories.
And that's one of the things, and that's what I was getting at with like we were able to, we would argue and we would butt heads over certain things, but it was because we had passion.
Right.
It wasn't like I'm better than you, you're an idiot. It was I like this. I like this. Okay, we'll figure this out. And like seeing like how they took stories I knew about and made it so like I cried again. Mm-hmm. Like I knew about Twitch, but not like this.
Right.
I knew about Gabby, not like, you know, I knew about Goldie, not like, I knew about all the, I knew about them, but it just, to see it out there, you'd learned so much more, and it was just with a camera and a microphone. You know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Absolutely.
And I got to learn so much more about them. And like, and we're, here's the other thing. We're only like, it's only been like 2.5 weeks since the show's been out.
Right.
But like in my mind, I'm like, how come I'm not a millionaire yet? You know what I mean? Right, like, but that's
because, I'm a TV star.
Right. But it's because we've been waiting so long for this. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and here's the thing that's so humbling, and I always throw it out there. I want everybody to understand the struggle that is out there. Like you saw about like not paying my mortgage and stuff. And they're like, oh, easy to talk about that, you know, now that you came out of it. I was talking about it when I wasn't out of it. I was telling people at the school, listen, don't pay me tuition. I'm not paying bills. You're not paying me. Don't worry about it. We'll get through this together. Blah, blah, blah. So, I'm sorry. I got indigestion real quick. Talk amongst yourselves.
So there was that time that Danny burped right on the camera. You know, it's funny because we talk about the editing. One of the things that I always think is interesting. But here's the funny thing. When you think about it, there's a perfect example with editing. Is the fact that clearly you would edit that out. The one that I was thinking of the other day, and I kind of wanted to get this whole other tangent. With wrestling, mm-hmm. Shane McMahon runs out at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2, 3 moves, and he is flat as a pancake. Yep. And you can't, what are you going to do? You can't just cut away and, let's retake that. Somebody dragged him out of the ring. It was like, and that's, I think that's one of the things like you talked about earlier, just this whole idea that people come in and they see a movie and they think one thing, but they see wrestling and they think something else. But yet you have that ability to tell the story, but there's something like that happens.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah, and it's you can't plan for that. And I love the way Snoop improvised.
Somebody had to be in the earpiece going, okay, now Snoop, you go drop that elbow. Which was amazing. And that's, it became one of the great moments, probably better than anything that they would have done with Shane.
I loved also the way he ran the ropes.
Right.
Because that's how Riddle ran the ropes when he first came to us, because he had no clue. And he would send me clips because he would be like in a boxing ring and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how he would run the ropes. Like he didn't know to put his arm up. He would just like hit the ropes like that. It was amazing.
But even going into the WWE now, thinking about that, you watch WrestleMania and you see so many people that are Monster Factory graduates that are in the main events of this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get back to what I was saying about the struggle. I'm so sorry. Because I had that indigestion. See,
the indigestion threw it up, and I was trying to vamp.
I know. Yeah. Dude. It was really bad. But during all these interviews, we had this real big press day a couple days ago. And it was the debut. I'm on phone calls from 10 to 3 o'clock on Zooms. And I love it. I'll never complain about it. I love that stuff. I live for it. If anybody complains on that, they're only doing it to sound cool.
Right.
They really love it. And if they don't, they shouldn't be in it.
Right.
But I love it. But like during that, my water got shut off for non-payment. So like here, I had it, like I didn't have the money. But like here I am with this TV show and this stuff. But like that's the struggle. Like... You see all the stuff and you think, oh, how did he get... Like, I've been doing this for over a decade. My first time in a ring was in 94, but I've been coaching since 2011. And that's all I do. Like, I guarantee you I've coached more hours, more people, more anything, got more people signed. But then, like, I'm still not content, still not happy. But that's also why I got this show, is because they can see the passion. They can see everything. You know, I'm dependable. When they email me, I get right back. When they call me, I get right back. I'm not difficult to work with, even though everybody says it.
I keep talking about that stubbornness. Right. Too difficult to work with.
Yeah,
look at his track record.
Yeah, I'm not difficult to work with. I'm just difficult to work with idiots. Like, I won't work with idiots. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to work with idiots. So, like, that's why people get very angry at me. But, like, that's the struggle. That's real. And I tell the students, like, this is my life, and I know you guys are probably going to use it against me, and I know this, and I know that, and you'll take this information, but, like, I want you guys to know, like, I struggle. I go through this stuff. It's not all you think it is. Like, there's times where I don't want to get out of bed, and I sometimes sit there for, like, 4 or 5 hours doing nothing but staring at a wall because that's the anxiety I have sometimes. I have anxiety just coming here. I have anxiety, like, I did... I can't talk about that. Oh, whatever. I did Jericho's show the other day, but I don't know when it's coming out. But like, I had such anxiety going into it. But I love it, and I had no reason to have it. But it, I do it for every day when I go into wrestling. Every day I go anywhere, I have this
especially,
anxiety.
I mean, coming on completely damaged.
Of course, yes. Oh my God, yes.
Everything else is beneath.
Well, I was like this. I was like, all right. I was like, I'm the most, like, someone said this to me, and they're like, you're the most successful Monster graduate. And I was like, yeah, what? And I went, oh yeah, I think they might be right.
Right.
I mean, like, honestly, like, I never got signed anywhere. I got the coach at Ring of Honor, but then, you know, I have my own show. I have all these graduates, plus I own the school, all that stuff. So, like, that's cool. But then I got to do Jericho and Stone Cold's show. So
right.
I'm pretty happy with that.
Plus, at the end of the day, and I think that's the document of this show, there's a lot of people whose life you have made better. And at some point, that more than anything else, and you can sit there and you can stare at the wall and say to yourself, but man, did I help somebody?
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
I said it from jump when I started training people. I said, two things are ideally going to happen when you're done here. You get signed, and you leave a better person.
Right.
That's all I care about. Yep. If you don't get signed, you're still leaving here a better person.
Better person.
That's like the lessons I teach, like you can ask any person, and I'm going to give everybody the secrets to my training. Here's my secrets. I give you the basics. I do not get in the ring, and I do not do all these tons of tricks and different holds and moves. I give you the basics. Figure it this way. Picasso learned to paint. Nobody taught Picasso how to paint like Picasso. They just taught him how to paint, and then he went out and did the rest. So I don't want a bunch of people wrestling like me, because a lot of trainers, they have like this certain thing, and it's like that's how they wrestle, so their right. person wrestles that way. No, I give you the foundation. I go, again, working with Annette. Here's where you figure everything out. Because back in the day when you coached and trained, you got broken into the business, like Larry said. Larry told me these stories. And it would be, you know, he'd be with Fuji, and they would go to a town. They'd get like an hour in a ring, and then it was helping out with this, this, and this, and then go to another town and maybe get an hour in a ring. But it was working with different people, and it was trying different things out. It wasn't by being told, this is what got me over, you should do it. No, that's not right. learning.
Yep.
What I do is I teach you, I give you the tools so you can figure out what gets you over. And that's why I keep the ring open at night. That's why I say, like, if I leave at 10:30 tonight, I'll go, lock up when you leave. And sometimes there's people till 2 in the morning. And because you never know when you're going to have that little moment of inspiration where it makes you go, oh, this is something, that's something. You know what I mean? Like, just answering that email from that guy 6-7 years ago right. has changed so many yeah. lives. But it's... You know, it's those little things, and that's the secret to my training. I'm not going to get in there and show you all this stuff and tell you how I headlined WrestleMania and this is how I got over brother. Because could you imagine, but honestly, could you imagine like a football coach and he goes, like somebody buys a football team and then just doesn't coach them and just tells stories about how he did in the Super Bowl and different things that worked for him? Because that's what a lot of wrestlers do. Right. They just go, I did this here and here, and it worked for me, and I did this. And I'm like, no, dude, let these guys figure it out. Let these guys go out there and try different things. Show them a couple tricks, but let them do their things. People pitch me ideas all the time. I'm like, give me the synopsis. Cool. Go out there and do it. Well, I'm going to do it. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know because I don't want to prevent you from doing something. Because that might, you failing, you have to feel that. I can't protect you from everything. And when you fail, that's when you're like, oh, I understand that. Because so many times in the beginning, I used to micromanage. And when I used to stop people from doing certain things, and I know in the back of the head when they went to the locker room, they're like, my way would have got over better, blah, 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 right. this. And, right. and that I'd rather them go out there and fail or prove me wrong. You know,
like you did. You proved people wrong.
Oh my God! But still, on Twitter, someone tried to attack me by saying you have your own TV show and it's on the worst streaming service there is. Like that's what you're coming with. I can't even believe you're on NBC and you're not on ABC. Like really? Like we're arguing this? Like Apple TV Plus, yeah, I know. It's such a bad gig.
See, now that's actually interesting. You kind of asked for on that. Has anybody talked crap at you? Has anybody given you crap about this?
Just random people, faceless people on Twitter. Right, you know, and it's people.
The keyboard people.
Right, and it's also people with burners account. People don't understand this also. Wrestlers talk. I knew who has burner accounts in wrestling. I don't talk. I won't out them. But I know who they are, so when I see them, I'll punch them in the face. Yeah. But I know who some people are. Like, seriously, like, I have it in my Apple Notes. I'll show you, like, different screenshots and stuff of, like, people saying stuff, and I know who they are. Right. So, like, that's going to be an awkward conversation
You're
for
right.
them. Okay. Not for me. It's going to be a great conversation.
No, but what I loved is, like, you know, you're prepping for the 2300 Arena Showcase. You know, you get that news about your mom.
And oh,
like,
my God.
Just literally, like, give me a second, guys. And then,
that was...
Show has to go on. Like,
yeah. And like, that was legit. That was legit. Like, you can see me. I'm like shook.
Yeah.
After like, right. And I'm like trying to get back into it. Like, that ain't acting. Like, I'm literally like,
choked
up. Like, trying to get back into it. But like, yeah, that was it. But that was also what I was telling the students, and that's why I was so frustrated. Because like, here's these kids telling me they can't come in because they have these things going on with their life. I have my mom dying of cancer. I have two kids in school. My wife's doing stuff. I got bills not being paid. I got, you know, foreclosure notices on my doorstep. Water being turned off. Power getting turned off. And these kids are telling me they got too much to worry about because they're 22 years old and they have a girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude.
You know what that means.
Exactly. Yep.
But that's damage. That's the stuff I got to deal with. And like, but at the same time, I'm telling them all this, but they're never going to experience it until they almost lose everything and then they realize what they have. You know, everybody deals with that.
Of course.
Everybody.
Of course. So if the Damage fans out there and people who are just blind haven't watched the docuseries yet, where can they go?
Go to Apple TV Plus. Baby. Apple TV Plus, Monster Factory. Also hit up Apple TV Plus on Instagram and Twitter and hashtag Monster Factory and talk about the Monster Factory to them. Tell them how it's changing your life. Tell them how it made you a wrestling fan. Tell them how you subscribed and you're not going to skirt out of the 30 days and then not pay. You're actually a subscriber. Tell Apple TV Plus that. Go ahead.
Exactly.
You know, one thing I was just going to say before we wrap it up is the fact that, I mean, obviously we've known you for a bunch of years, but seeing you through that whole series, you're very inspirational. Do you have any words of advice for the people that are out there listening? We're going to kind of put a button on this whole thing.
Yeah, be yourself, man. And I say this, like, I was always myself, and I made bad decisions along the way, but I was always myself. And when I tried to be somebody else, it didn't feel right. And I'm always myself because, like, I'd rather fail at being me than trying to impersonate somebody else. So, and also, the key is communication. Mm. 99% of the arguments and disagreements in the world are through lack of communication. And also, invest in yourself. Invest in yourself.
Perfect.
And one thing I learned is listen, this man has a great deal of knowledge. Every day I think of the promo that we shot in that ring with you when you said, good job, kid, but slow down. I'm marching for completely down. Blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
You know, relax.
Yes, relax.
Tell them what you did. You checked it off. You can check mark. You know,
yes.
You've done that. Let them think, oh, wow, he did it. Like, I replay that every day in my mind. I'm waiting for the opportunity to do that one.
I was about to compliment your opening to the radio. Like, it's way better than it used to be. I'm serious. I am serious.
He tells me every time, either you're too loud or you're too quick.
Yeah.
Relax. Well, if you listen to the music, he goes, there's a certain beat where I bring the music down. And I always he's got to wait. Otherwise,
yeah.
Still leaving me like, oh. No, but Danny, thank you so much, man, for everything you've done for us. 10 plus years of friendship, always inviting us in your home, man. We appreciate this documentary and you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me, and I love coming in here.
Yep. So, guys, remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Completely damaged!